Hello and welcome to my dental hygiene school experience. My name is Dax Ska, and each episode I'm going to share my own experience of dental hygiene school. The highs, the lows, the funny, and the real. Thank you for joining me on my journey, and here's another episode right now. What's up, dental nerds? I'm Dax Ska, dental assistant and future guy genist. Today I'm going to do one of my catch-up episodes, and I'll be covering semester 2. I'll talk about each class and what it was like. But first of all, I want to thank everyone for your positive feedback on my last episode. As some of you know, it was my first episode in quite a while, and it was good to know that there are people listening out there and someone who is getting value out of this podcast. So thank you. At this time, I won't be releasing weekly episodes. My goal is to release an episode about every other week, but you know that may change depending on what it's like moving forward. But enough of the introduction, let's get into this episode. Well, semester 2 was definitely a different experience than semester 1 for me. Semester 1 was a lot of prereq classes and not a lot to do with dental things. Semester 2, there was a few prereq classes, but a lot more dental, which that was pretty exciting. But it definitely felt like the bar was raised, a whole different ballgame. The biggest thing to note was that we did a class called Preclinic. This class was a lot of fun because we got to work on each other and use dental instruments, which really made us feel like we're budding hygienists. The first instrument we used was a perioprobe, which is used to measure gum pockets or the sulcus. I was the hygienist first when we were on our first class doing this, and my classmate was the patient. We had to measure the pockets in one area of the mouth. So when I was working, my classmate was wincing, and I kept asking her if it hurt, but she kept telling me, just keep going, not answering the question. Okay, so it was fun to start using instruments, but it didn't feel like I knew what I was doing. Well, halfway between class, we switched roles, so I became the patient, and my classmate became the hygienist. But when you switch roles, it means you do like a full switchover. This means wiping down the room. You go and sterilize your instruments and set up a whole new room, just like how you would in a real-world setting. Well, it was my turn to be the patient, and my classmate started working on me, and I got to experience what she just experienced. Let me just say, it hurt a lot. We practiced on typodonts before, but you can't accurately replicate gum tissue, and whenever I would use a perioprobe on a typodont, it would just get stuck in the gums. Switching to working on human gums took a lot of fine-tuning, let's just say. And not only that, we're basically untrained students told to go use instruments we've never used before. Of course, we didn't know how much pressure to use. I mean, they tell us, like, how much pressure to use. But you have to, like, learn what that means with your hands, your muscles, all that. And also, where would this prior information have come from in using a perioprobe? I mean, as a dental assistant, you never use one. Well, and then even if you've seen your hygienist at your office do it 1,000 times, there's a lot of technique that goes into it that you just won't see just by looking, and you wouldn't necessarily know what to look for anyway. Well, after we had a few sessions to practice, we did what are called observations. And so you'll do this with pretty much every skill, so every instrument you use and a few other things. So the observation is when you perform a skill while your instructor watches. And when I say that they watch, I mean they are literally over your shoulder, almost breathing in your ear. So that's interesting. The nice thing about the observation, though, is that the instructor will give you feedback and help direct you to improve your skills. So they're like, hey, let's fix your angle over here, or, you know, something like that. A class or two after your observation comes your competency. Now, this is when you have to prove that you're competent at the skill. And when you do your competency, you can't ask any questions, and the instructor can't direct you in any way. So if you have any questions about the competency, you need to ask them before you start. So if you're not in a clinical setting yet in your schooling, just remember, it's okay to ask beforehand, at least with instructors I've worked with, it could vary from person to person. But for me, as long as I asked before we started, then that was okay. But during, they cannot give any feedback. It's absolute silence. So yeah, that's another interesting part. But one thing I was told by one of the instructors is that if you use an instrument wrong, such as using the wrong end or something like that, if you correct yourself, they won't mark you down for it. So I know there's an Explorer, like an 11-12, if you're familiar with that. You definitely want to make sure that you're using the right end of the instrument. So if you're starting your observation or your competency, and the instructor can't give any feedback, you start using your instrument the wrong way. If you catch yourself and you turn your instrument around and start over, they usually don't dock you for that. So that's important to know. So if you get it wrong, don't panic. Just fix the problem and move on. Quite often it's not as bad as you think it is. I do have to say that competencies are nerve-wracking, and having someone over your shoulder watching your every move can shake your confidence. Letting your nerves get to you can make you fail the competency, honestly. You may have to experience it for yourself to really know what I mean, but it's helpful to know this before going into it. Mentally prepare yourself that you will have someone critiquing your every move, but don't let the pressure of them watching get to you. I find that for the most part, instructors are there just to do their job and to help you. I really don't see it where an instructor is on a power trip or anything and they just love to fail students. You know, they're just doing their job. I know those instructors that like to fail students are out there, but in my experiences, instructors generally want to help you. Well, throughout the semester, we would practice on each other with different instruments and tools. It was fun at one point when I was practicing on a classmate. There are different angles that you have to consider when using a perio probe because almost nothing is straight up and down. If you learn about your head and neck anatomy, you'll learn, you know, where the axis of the tooth is and all that. So there are different, so I was probing the lower teeth and I got to a canine, and at first I knew it wasn't working and I tried a different angle and then suddenly it clicked. You know, you just kind of have to play around with these things. I wasn't being observed at the time, so I really was just free to kind of allow the information to sink in, you know, let my fingers know what that feels like. You know, but once it clicked, it just, you know, like it really sticks in your mind. And that was just from playing around a bit and figuring it out. You know, do know this, I still sometimes have trouble finding that angle, but I was heading the right direction. So it's just getting that click to happen and things are a whole lot better. And that's one thing you want to consider when learning new skills. You won't get it right away. There will be some skills that will come easier to you than others, but those of you that have a tough time learning that skill, don't give up. You're teaching your brain a lot of new stuff, and not only is it visual information, but also muscle memory, so your brain's working pretty hard. And then the other thing to consider is unique anatomy of each patient. So you'll have to learn how that works and how to adapt. So yeah, don't be discouraged. I know it's frustrating and it feels like everything in hygiene school is like you basically have to have this solid the first day. That's not true. It's nice to get that stuff right away, especially if you're a dental assistant, you feel like you have a better understanding, but it doesn't always happen that way. Anyway, and also to do with this class, we got our loops, which is like one of the most exciting things that can happen to you as a student hygienist. So the first few weeks of the semester, we were without loops, which made it really difficult to see what we were doing. So when I was using the perio probe, we weren't at the point of measuring. It was more getting a feel for what it's supposed to feel like. But then it was too small. There's no way I could have read what the measurement was. For me, it was basically impossible. But when I started using my loops, it was amazing. And I had a light on my loops, which was an absolute game changer. So if you're about to buy loops, get the light, because it makes your life so much easier. All right, so the next class I want to talk to is radiology, or talk about You know what I meant. So before I started the class, I thought I was pretty good at taking x-rays. You know, I was a dental assistant. I've been taking x-rays for quite a while. And, you know, I really felt like I knew what I was doing. If you're a dental assistant, you're going to have to learn a new reality. You do not know how to take x-rays. I discovered that as a dental assistant, I would place the sensor in the general area of the tooth and I wanted to that I wanted, and then I would take the picture. And, you know, like I had pretty good success with that. I didn't have to do many retakes. You know, once in a while you have a tooth that just doesn't work. But, you know, I didn't, not that many retakes. Contacts were usually open. When you get to hygiene school, and this is not just for radiology, but for any skill you have in the dental field, you will have to unlearn it, unfortunately, even though you feel like you have some sort of skill in that area. Because I learned that there's specific criteria that you need to, that needs to be present in a proper x-ray. And I feel like I didn't learn this in dental assisting school. And perhaps it was just so long ago, I don't remember. But yeah, there's very specific things. So I'll kind of explain more about that. But after we take the x-rays, we have to analyze them and point out what would need to change in order to make the picture better. So I don't know, I would assume that most hygiene schools would do something like this where, okay, so we took a picture here, it's not 100% right, which you'll learn it's never 100% right, like 99% of the time. But you will learn how to identify what's wrong with it. So sometimes the angle of the picture, it's too high or too low, too forward, too back, like too mesial, too distal. Did the patient move? I mean, there's so many things. Are there artifacts in the pictures? There's so many things that can go wrong with a x-ray image. But you're never really going to get 100% right all the time. So there are questions we have to ask ourselves and then document them on a piece of paper. Especially when we're doing an FMX, it's all organized and everything. But the frustrating thing about this is it's not a straightforward assessment. There were many times we asked the instructor's opinion about if she would mark us down for putting an adjustment or not. And we asked this often because you put this on your paper that you hand in, and if you put something down, like say, oh, it's cone cut, but it's not cone cut, then you'll get marked down for that. So you can't just put stuff down, you have to be very intentional about it. But several times when we ask our instructor like what her opinion is, she would often say, well, I wouldn't mark you down if you put it, and I wouldn't mark you down if you didn't put it, because it's a gray area. So, and the thing is, the answer could vary with another instructor. Some instructors may say with the exact same image, you know what, if you don't put that down, I would mark you down for that. Or if you did, and vice versa, all that. For practice, our instructor would bring up a set of x-rays on the big screen in the room that we were in, and we would go around the room. Each student would take an image, and they would say what needs to change in order to make it an ideal picture. I kind of liked it because it was kind of a time of no nonsense, state your case and move on. It reminded me of what it would be like if you were a doctor in a hospital, in a teaching hospital, and they were doing rounds and they're like, okay, Dr. So-and-so, what's wrong with this patient, you know? So it was kind of cool, but it was also interesting to me because you would confidently state your answer even if you weren't confident about it. Even though this was pretty low stakes, and you wouldn't even get marked down, that usually this was just like an exercise, no marks, or it's more like participation. So, and I think that for the most part is the most important thing, is that you participate and you don't hesitate about it either. But what I did learn, well, part of what we had to learn was mounting x-rays in 7 minutes. And I'm talking about the physical x-ray film and putting it in the little frame. And this is something that is extremely rare in the dental industry these days. For some reason, it's part of one of our sign-offs that we have to get during the semester. So, I mean, arranging the x-rays was not a problem for me. It was getting them to go into the little frame, because those little things, it's kind of frustrating. So I think I probably did three or four practice rounds, and then I did an attempt, which I didn't pass because it, you know, you have to get within 7 minutes, and it was on my second attempt that I got it. So, I mean, and again, it's just one of those things where you just have to get it signed off. I think your grade, I mean, your grade does have an impact on your final grade, but so low stakes that, you know, as long as you get it, that's great. In radiology, we also had competencies, not just in clinic. The first one was on infection control. And so at my school, before you even set up a room, the first thing you do, you wipe it down. And they do the two wipe technique. That's our policy, just to make sure second time around, like, we did a thorough job and we're making sure that we're not potentially spreading infection or disease or, you know, whatever. Like, think of worst case scenarios. We don't want that to happen. So for this particular one, we are setting up the room as if we're just taking x-rays and nothing else. So, which was really nice because, you know, when you're doing a full setup, it can be time consuming. So setting up just for x-rays is a lot more straightforward. So that was really nice. But so radiology, we also did classroom work. And so this involved the history of x-rays and factors that can be adjusted to change the picture, wavelengths of radiation, and parts of the x-ray two head. I'll be honest, a lot of this information seems quite irrelevant for your career. I mean, are you going to have a patient that's going to be like, how does an x-ray happen? You know, I've never had a patient ask me, but, you know, maybe one day there will be, so at least I have that knowledge in my head. But I have noticed when you have a deeper knowledge of the tools that you're working with, you have a greater understanding of what you're doing. So, I mean, it does help, and it does help you if you need to change something to make it work better. You have that previous information to help you with critical thinking. I was lucky that my instructor for radiology was very passionate about all of it, and it made the class a lot more enjoyable. All right, next, let's talk about head and neck anatomy. Now, this class I wasn't too worried about to start with. I had just done anatomy and physiology, and I figured it would be similar to that. It was much harder. Yes, there was a lot of anatomy, but now you're focusing on something a lot more specific, and the information we're learning will be used on a daily basis when you're working out in the field. Last semester, in semester one, we learned about dental anatomy, and head and neck covers almost everything else. So, like, we're not so much focused about the teeth, but, you know, nerves, blood vessels, muscles, or whatever, I don't know. But it's different. You'll just have to experience that for yourself. That's just so much. But a few weeks into the semester, we were talking with someone from the cohort ahead of us, and they were saying that almost everyone in their class failed the first midterm. I think they said all but two people failed. We had a few quizzes, but we hadn't experienced an exam yet. But of course, everyone thinks they're special. You know, they'll be fine. You know, we're better than the other class. Mm-mm. When my class took the midterm, everyone failed except for, I don't know, three people, I think. And truth be told, I was one of the ones that didn't pass. Failing a midterm makes you worry that you're going to fail the class. Well, I mean, everything in hygiene school kind of makes you feel that way. But I learned to dedicate more time to studying and changing my techniques. For me, I found that flashcards worked really well for identifying the different areas. I kind of had to use other techniques, but, you know, flashcards are amazing for studying, and it works really well for me. But you need to find out what works for you. So for some people, flashcards may not be ideal. But, you know, it's one of those things you have to play with, and, you know, it needs to adjust throughout the semester. So I learned that head and neck, for me, was harder than I expected. So after that first exam, I decided to change my techniques and change my focus on how I did things. Another cool thing about this class, we got a plastic skull where we had a few assignments which involved labeling the different parts of the skull. It's a fun assignment, but it's not so much fun when it's due the next morning and you're overloaded with other assignments and you're sleep deprived and you have to wake up at 4:30 in the next morning so you can be in class on time. But other than that, it was good. But yeah, overall the class, it was tough. And at first I thought it was the instructor being tough on us, but sometimes there are subjects where you just have to put the effort in to learn the material. And then in the end, I did pass the next exam and the final and ultimately the class. But, you know, I think this is the information the instructors are told to give us, and so they're just doing their job. And one last note about head and neck anatomy. I remember the instructor talking about a type of therapy that can help with sleep apnea and tongue ties. And this was something that was just randomly mentioned in a lecture, and it wasn't even on the lecture slides. It's just something she heard about and thought it was interesting. It's called myofunctional therapy, or the full name of it is actually oral facial myofunctional therapy. And when I heard about this, I was fascinated, and I asked my instructor more about it. And she recommended I talk to another instructor at the school that actually went through the training for it. So I did a lot of my own research, and then I only got about 15 minutes with that instructor about her experience with myofunctional therapy. I found out what program she did and what her experience was like. And I was so fascinated by it that I decided that when I graduate hygiene school, I will pursue myofunctional therapy. The reason I'm waiting until after graduation is because being a hygienist is a prerequisite to being able to practice that kind of therapy. Other ways to get in, you don't have to be a hygienist. You can also be a speech and language pathologist, a massage therapist, or a physical therapist. There's different ways to get there, but you do need to have at least one of those to start off with. And I'll talk more about this in the future because this field is so interesting to me. But it's amazing how I heard one side note during a lecture and now I'm adding it to my career goals. So that's pretty cool. Another class I took was chemistry. This was one of our prereq classes, and I'll be honest, my takeaway from this class was minimal. Our instructors keep saying this information will come back when we take local anesthetic, but right now, to me, this information is completely random, and it's tough to see that right now. But I did have an excellent instructor. I was able to attend online study sessions to help me pass the class. My instructor was very patient, and because I remember there was one concept I was just not getting. I couldn't understand it, so I asked him to explain it, and I mean, he doesn't mind us asking questions, because if one person doesn't get it, likely other people don't get it either. So I asked him to explain this concept, and he did. And so when he was done, I was like, oh, okay, I get this one part, but what about this other stuff? I still don't understand it. And he basically went around in circles four times, explaining it four different ways until I got it. So my mind doesn't think in chemistry, so I really had to put in extra effort to understand it. But I do appreciate my instructor for being so patient with me. Next class is medical emergency. This was a smaller class in terms of content. I think we only had 1 hour once a week, so very minimal compared to some of our other classes, a lighter class, if you will. But it's still very important and relevant to our careers. We learn the signs of medical emergency, what to do during a medical emergency, and how to prevent one from happening. That sounds simple, but there was a lot of information that went to it. Luckily, there was a lot of crossover from other classes and clinic. You know, a lot of this is relevant, so that did help a little bit, but there's still a lot of information. The fun part is that we got to make a video on a medical emergency. I guess the assignment was to act out the situation, so it was kind of like a skit, basically, but we had to act out in class. But I guess the directions we were given were from when they were doing classes during COVID, and so you're supposed to record it outside of class and play the video. Well, we all did videos, and I guess because we did that, our instructor just said, okay, I guess that's what we're doing. Either way, we had fun making it. My group did a video on seizures, and we kind of did it in the style of a silent film. It was a lot of fun. All right. Last class for semester two is sociology. Again, another prereq class. So this class was similar to psychology in semester one. This class was unusual because partway through the semester we ended up getting a different instructor. I'm not going to share any details about that because it's not really relevant to the experience of hygiene school. It's not like there was a scandal or anything like that. It was just something that happened and we moved on. So not anything noteworthy. It did make it a little messy figuring out how to do quizzes and exams for the class, just because by the time we got a new instructor, we're running short on that point. But the point is we all passed, so that's wonderful. All right. So that was my semester two experience. There was definitely a jump in expectations and in how much I had to put into it. I think that was a good thing, though. Looking back on semester one, it was a lot more manageable. But in semester one, I was only 2 days in a week in person and 2 days, was it 2 days a week online, I think. But semester two, it was 4 days a week in person. The cool part is that as a whole class, we were together more in semester two. And because there are fewer prereq classes and more of the core dental hygiene classes, so that was a lot more exciting because there was a handful of people we really didn't get to know till semester two. But yeah, so it's kind of a learning, growing experience together. But that's all I have for this episode. In 2 weeks, I'll be releasing my next episode talking about semester three, so be sure to tune in for that. And thank you all for listening. I'm Dax Ska. Until next time. Take care. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to my podcast. I appreciate your support on this journey, and until next time, I am Dax Ska.